traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller coming to you live from Delray Beach, Florida, where the horse world is happening. Every kind of horses. Standardbreds, thoroughbreds, show horses, Pastofinos, you name it, we got it here in South Florida, and our winter season has started, and everybody's all excited. I'm really excited about it, because it's literally horse shows and racing for the next 6 months, every day of the week. I'm really excited about it, and hope you guys can get out and enjoy your horse endeavors and what you're doing, and hope training goes well for you. You know, there's a lot of things that we talk about on this show, and one of them's weather, and the weather that they're having in New York is really devastating. Aqueduct canceled racing, moves September 30th card to October 1st. Racing was canceled September 29th and 30th at Aqueduct Racetrack in the Meadowlands due to significant rainfall forecast to create a hazardous weather in the New York, New Jersey area. The New York Racing Association further announced that it had moved its Saturday 11 race card at Aqueduct to Sunday, October 1st, and pushed Sunday's 10 race card program to October 4th. That's due to torrential rainfall causing widespread flooding and hazardous conditions in the New York metropolitan area. With as much as 5 inches expected to fall at Ozone Park at Aqueduct, is under flash flood warning, which watched through all day today until tonight, actually. The Saturday's card headlined the $500,000 Joe Hirsch Turf, a grade one, will move its entirety to Sunday, with first post time being 12:05. The lucrative 11 race card also features the $400,000 Woodward Stakes, the $250,000 Gallant Bloom Stakes, and the $250,000 Vosburgh Stakes, winning your end for the Breeders' Cup. Trainee Belmont, who has 4 entries in the stakes shifted Sunday to Sunday, called the delay a minor bump in the road. You know, and we've been talking about this for a long time here, what we went through getting horses ready to, you know, run in the Derby and training last year, and how, you know, the weather played a big determining factor to the Derby last year. The weather at Hot Springs was off and on. New Orleans was bad. I mean, it was bad pretty much. And so, you know, you got to train on the tracks, and there's so many things that, you know, you have to think about and do. You know, it just makes you really wonder, you know, how you get through what you get through and still keep your horses in top condition. You know, and like I said, again, this is a situation that you can't control. You can't deal with. I mean, you got to deal with it, but, you know, it makes it tough on getting your horses ready. And especially this time of year right now, and I'll mention this quite often, off and on, throughout the shows that we have from now until the Kentucky Derby in May, about weather conditions. Here we train all year long, getting horses ready to run in the Breeders' Cup, which is a month away from this Saturday. You're looking at 4 weeks. And not saying that at this time and point that, you know, weather is going to really affect you that much, unless it's a long period of time, like, say, 4 or 5 days. This couple of days here in New York, it's not going to hurt anything. They'll just move it, you know, a day back in your schedule. But you got to remember, it's 4 weeks till the Breeders' Cup. So you got to do everything that you can do to keep your horse in a tip-top condition, keep him ready to go, keep on that plan. You know, now's not the time that you can adjust and maneuver your horses to different races or different tracks. Where you're at is where you're going to be, you know, right now with your horses on the first Saturday in November. And there, 4 of Asmussen's, Steve Asmussen's horses are at Santa Anita for the Breeders' Cup. So he kind of like, you know, dodged any potential weather bullets that would be shot at him anywhere else in the country, like New York or Kentucky or Florida, you know, so it's pretty good. It's, let's see, four Breeders' Cups horses trained by Steve Asmussen arrived at Santa Anita Park on September 26th. But the specific Breeders' Cup races for the two of them, Gunite and Echo Zulu, are still not to be determined. They are eligible for multiple Breeders' Cup races. At Churchill Downs, September 27th, the Hall of Fame trainer said to dual grade one winner Gunite did not catch the circumstances of the day at Parks, and anybody would have wondered where he went. So, you know, he's trying to get these horses in out there. He's got four, like we said, out there now, and that's going to make a big difference, you know, for what they do with him. He had an interesting meet at Parks out there. A lot of these horses are, you know, they're fit and they're ready to go. And you know, you go to a different track like Parks, it's different. Weather conditions are different. You know, you're looking at temperature, you know, rain, cold rain, hot heat, you know, like they had. It's always something, you know, that they do. But he's got four of them out there, and we're going to see how many other trainers over the next week or two send horses out to Santa Anita for the Breeders' Cup early. The best experience that I've ever had and ever seen with horses going to the Breeders' Cup, no matter where it was at, is you get there 3 days before the weekend. You try to ship in on a Wednesday night or a Thursday morning, and then you got Thursday, Friday, and then you run Saturday. Or you ship in, you know, Tuesday night, and if you're going to run on Friday, and then you're there Wednesday and Thursday and then Friday. But you try to get that three-day, buffer zone in there, and that's what they call shocking them. You shock a horse and you go in 3 days before the race, and then it gives his body a chance to acclimate somewhat to the temperature, the time zones, or what have you. But it really doesn't. You just keep them on the same schedule. So that's going to be interesting to see how many of these Breeders' Cup horses come up, because it's a month away now, and we're down to the last few Breeders' Cup win and you're in races. And so now, you know, it's all over with but the hollering, as they say. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And just to give you an idea about the importance of the different meets that are coming around and the trainers, this is the most confusing time of the year for the trainers, because you got the Breeders' Cup coming up. That's the big, you know, the big shooting match right there. And, you know, most of the good trainers, they got three or four horses that are geared up for that, and so you're just fixed on the Breeders' Cup. And also that makes it, you know, interesting for a trainer. You know, you're thinking about that, but you got to think about the rest of your stable, wherever they're stabled at, whether it's Florida, Kentucky, New York, California, or what have you. You know, so you gotta take, like I would say, the B team. You know, you gotta keep on pushing forward with them. And then you got your two-year-olds that you're getting ready to start on a Derby campaign. So that's the third part of your, you know, situation. And so then you kind of go from there. And I tell you, at this time of the year, you have to start looking at the stake races that are coming up at the different meets for the different state breds. And so today we're taking a look real quick here at the Sunshine Meat Stakes, and this is for the Florida breds. And I tell you what, it's going to be a pretty good meet. And you know, not saying that these horses aren't, you know, big time potential, you know, $1 million Breeders' Cup winners, you know, that type of thing, or you know, potential Derby winners, but it gives them a good foundation to make some money and establish himself, you know, as a true horse to really get down the road and get something, you know, like the Derby, the Preakness, or the Belmont. The Sunshine Meet, it started at 9/9 of 23. and the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association, Florida Sire Stakes, the Desert Vixen Division. Then they had the Dr. Figure Division. Those are $100,000 added, you know, stake races, and you get your horse black type, you know, if you won that. Then they had the Bears Den on the 16th, which is a $75,000 race for three-year-olds going a mile and 70 yards on a Tapita. And speaking of Tapita, you know, this is getting interesting now. It's a lot of horses like it, and they like the turf. There's a lot of horses that don't like it, you know, and like the dirt. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things, you know, you got to try your horse on the Tapita to see how they like it, you know, and then the trainer gets into a jam again, because then you got to look at the stakes book and look at the condition book and say, well, you know, he wins on the Tapita, we'll say. Well, now do we take him back and try the grass, or do we take him back to the dirt, or do we leave him on the Tapita? And there's not that many big stake races on the Tapita, so you got to, you know, really plan your future out with your horse, you know, that type of thing. They got the $200,000 Princess Rooney, which is a Grade 3, a Gulfstream. It's on the dirt, going 7 furlongs, and that is a 10-7, a 23, coming up here next week. So that's going to be a nice race there. And, you know, like we're saying about training your horses, you know, you got to start pointing them in the right direction. And, you know, when you get them in that right direction, is it on a major stakes race? Is it on, you know, a competitive allowance stakes race journey? That type of thing. And the toughest part is you got to find that middle, that medium, whether, you know, you want to stay right on the edge of going to the big races, but yet you want to stay right dead center on the smaller races that you can win, which are stake races, you know. And a good example that we have here for this is the Princess Rooney. It's an invitational. It's an invite. It's $200,000 going 7 furlongs on the dirt. And that's a nice race right there to go to and have on your portfolio for your horse's resume. So that's good. But then you turn around and you look, you got the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association, the Sire Stakes. You got the Susan Gurrell, which is two divisions, actually. So we have their two-year-old fillies going 7 furlongs on the dirt. Then you have the farm division, which is the same thing, going 7 furlongs on the dirt. And so you have that one, and then that's $200,000 also. And then you also have the Florida Sire Stakes, the Gil Campbell Memorial, which is $100,000 going a mile on the dirt. So you got some nice races there, you know, for your horses. And now, mind you, these are two-year-olds, and this is the right time of year to season your two-year-old. I mean, they're young horses, and if you can knock off one of these races here, and then if you do well in this race, then that judges you whether you go to the Breeders' Cup with them, the two-year-old division of the Breeders' Cup. So, you know, today or tomorrow actually is going to be the defining day, what you do. If you're going ahead and to go to the Breeders' Cup, you know, so now you got to decide, now you got to go. On the undercard at the Breeders' Cup, or, you know, then thereabouts, the Breeders' Cup week, there's a lot of nice stake races that you can go for, top off your season, by running in a race and hopefully winning one of those races. And then you yank them off the track, those two-year-olds, and send them to the farm. And then you pick them back up in January, you know, and start to run for the Oaks or for the Derby. And, you know, that's what you do. So, you know, the trainer, this time of year for the trainer is the most confusing part of the season, because there's so many things that he has to think about. One is getting from here to the Breeders' Cup over the next 4 weeks. Then after that, getting your stables moved to wherever they're going to be moved to for the winter. You know, that's a tough situation to be in right there in itself. You're wondering how many of your help is going to show up to, if you're going from New York and Kentucky to Florida or to California, you wonder how much of your help's going to show up, you know, to see, it's exciting. It's exciting. You want to know how many of your horses you're going to send to the farm, which is exciting because it's a relief to know that they made it through, you know, the early part of the racing season, healthy and wealthy. And, then you're ready to send them to the farm and pick up a real nice horse, coming back from the farm when they get them conditioned and ready to come back to them, you know, to the track up there. So, you know, that's one thing that you look at. The Sunshine Meat Stakes, they've got some nice races there. I wouldn't say major races. You can make some money there, but, you know, you just got to kind of pick and choose where you're going with them. And that's the time. This is the time of year to do that. And now we're going to Belmont, where they're not going to run until Sunday because of the weather. Okay, here. These are the races that the trainers point for. I'm telling you, it's a hard job to do. So many things can happen, like the weather, for example. But unfortunately, the weather at Belmont in Ozone Park is not going to really change anything because they'll be back, racing on the first at Belmont. This is a race that I really do like, and I don't know how the weather is going to affect the turf. I know it's going to be a soft turf for sure on Sunday when they run this race. Instead of running it Saturday, they'll be running it Sunday. Out here, it's the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic. The post time is 2:40 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a $500,000 race going a mile and a half on the turf for three-year-olds and upward. Todd Pletcher's got a horse that in here that it's Grand Sonata. And this horse can really run. They got Johnny V on him, and that's why I think this horse is going to make a statement. This horse can really run. I think Johnny V fits the horse good. And then the one horse that I tell you what, I think is going to be a horse to beat, and that's Rebel's Romance. Charlie Appleby's got the horse in. And I tell you what, this horse can flat out run. He's an Irish bred horse. And I tell you what, he's going to be there for sure. Like I said, it's a mile and a half on the turf for three-year-olds and upward. I tell you, Christophe Clement, he's got one here. Soldier Rising's a nice horse. He'll be competitive. Chad Brown has Stone Age, an Irish bred horse that's going to be good. I tell you, you know, when you look at the races and see how these trainers are getting horses ready, and I always think that I put more confidence in the trainer and the owner of these horses that are running because they know how to get them ready and they know where they're going with them. They're on a mission. You know, they're on a real mission. And so this race here, the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic, has been on the books for these trainers and for these owners for the last 6 months. They've been porting horses for that. And so when I look at the racing form and I say, okay, well, let's see who did what, where they ran out, and where they point for this race. And it's easy to do once you start doing that. Once you start looking at them that way, you say, oh, my goodness, look at here, back here in Gulfstream. They got him out on a route of ground, on a dirt, going a mile, on the turf, I mean, going a mile and a half. So, you know, that's something to look at. But, you know, again, these trainers are pointing these horses for a lot of things. And you start going back and you go over the racing form and see what races did he use to get this horse ready for that. And this is going to be a tough race. This is going to be a tough race. And now that it's off the grass, I mean, now it's off on Saturday, and they're going to run on Sunday with it, you're literally looking at pretty much a real soft turf. And it's going to be interesting to see how many scratches we have out of that race on Sunday, to see who scratches and says, you know, we're going to wait till a later day, you know, to do that with. On the Big A, Belmont at the Big A, the Woodward Stakes, and this is a prestigious stakes to win. I'm telling you, it really is. Post time is at 3:11 Eastern time. It's the Woodward Stakes. And we got a horse in here that I think has really been misjudged and not had very good luck, and that's called Charge It. Johnny Velasquez is going to be riding this horse. He's breaking from the number one post, which I like. And I think it's going to be a very strong competitive race. We got all kinds of good horses in here. And Linda Rice has got Costa Terra in there, which is a real good horse. I think it's got a big shot in it. Chad Brown's got Zandon in it, which is really, really, really a tough, tough horse, Zandon is. He just had a lot of ups and downs to go through. So I like that horse. And then the one star the horse that Linda Rice has, Film Star, I think that horse has really been under the radar and hadn't really had his opportunity yet to do it. But he's got Ortiz on him. And I think this horse might come through. It's Film Star is the name of the horse. It's a good horse and ready to roll. Linda's really good at getting these horses ready for that. She plans the future very well. And then also at Belmont, this is a horse race that I really, really wish that I could have run a horse in and win this race. It goes off at 1:09. It's the third race. It's the Vosper. It's 7 furlongs for 3-year-olds and upward, and a $250,000 purse. And what I like about it is this is like a sprint potential distance horses. So you got a lot of horses in here that could be running at a mile and eighth, you know, mile and 16th or what have you, and they're really good. But this field has kind of got me puzzled a little bit. Not one of the horses in here that I see was pointed for 7 furlongs. Most of them were going distance, taking a distance. And just to show you how this race is and how important it is to, you know, tap your horse with this race win of the Vosper at Aqueduct, we have Cody's Wish. Cody's Wish is the most phenomenal horse that I've ever seen. He draws people to see him. Cody's Wish is named after a young man from Lexington that has a disability, and he's been around Cody all the time. And whenever Cody comes to the barn, no matter where he's at, and Cody's Wish, the horse, knows that he's there. He pins his ear and flips his ears and starts walking around and goes right over to Cody and puts his head right in his lap. You know, it's just unbelievable how these two connect. And you'll see on TV Saturday the story of Cody and Cody's Wish. But this horse is really tough, and he's going to be hard to beat. And, I mean, they got some real good horses in here. They got the Great Navigator, which is in here. They got some good horses in here. But Cody's Wish for Billy Mott is going off at 1-5. He's going off at 1-5. I mean, you know, you might owe more money when you go bet on him because he's a great horse. And this horse has got nothing but heart. nothing but heart, you know, and he's class, and it's just unbelievable to see this horse go, you know, like he's doing, especially for Cody, and Cody just loves it, and I hope Cody's there with him at Aqueduct. But the next race we're going to talk about here is the ACAC Stakes. This is kind of a stakes race that not a lot of people notice. You know, it's $400,000 going a mile. So you got to have speed and stamina, you know, to go in there. And I think that Dwayne Lucas has a Cadu River there. And this horse is really a nice horse. He can run a little bit. He's always jumped in there and gave everything that he has, you know, to go through it. And then other than that, I think it's wide open. You know, I think you're looking at a horse here that's going to be tough to beat. But, you know, it's like I said, it's a horse race. It's a horse race. And there's a horse here, Zozo. Brad Cox has him. He's 6-5. He's a real good horse. He got a lot of speed. But I think they're going to just throw him under the bus in this one. I think that's what they're doing with him. You know, he's a kind of a tough horse and kind of going with it. But, you know, like I said, you got to get all these horses ready. And, you know, sometimes it's easier to get focused on your Derby horse or, you know, that type of thing. And you kind of lose track of the other ones. You know, you're going through the routine and trying to get them in and you know, get them some, earn some money and, you know, make them a good resume. And this is one of the races that you can do that with. And I tell you, my friends, this race is going to be down to the wire. It's $500,000. It's for three-year-olds and upwards. Going a mile and an eighth on the dirt. And I'm telling you, these guys, some of these guys really come in here to win this thing. And my opinion is that there's four of them that could win this race because I've been able to watch and see them come along, see who had the layoffs, see who got hurt, you know, that type of thing. There's a horse here that Blue Devil, and Hiles is the trainer, and he's a daredevil colt. And I tell you, he's going to be something. He's going to be something. Now, let me tell you, he's a gelding. Blue Daredevil's a gelding. But this bunch of horses here, I think they're going to be scattered all over the track. They'll be close to the finish to each other. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. And there's a horse that I really do like in here, Trademark. He's a four-year-old gelding. Vicky Oliver is the trainer of this horse. And I think this horse is going to be able to go like there is no tomorrow out there for Vicky. I hope she wins it. I like her. She's a good trainer. She's got good owners, and you know, she can really get a horse to the finish line out there. And then we travel out west, and we got our out west thing that's going on. This is Santa Anita Park. It's $300,000 added. It's called the Awesome Again. It's going a mile and eight for three-year-olds and upward. Now, see, a lot of these races that I'm talking to you about now, you know, that are for three-year-olds and upward, which is good. And a lot of money out there. So you got to determine where you're going to get your horse, you know, to, and how you're going to get them there. And, you know, there's just so much trainer has to focus on now, because you're literally sometimes have to divide your stable up to go to three or four different tracks to run if you want to run for $300,000 or $400,000, and that's what everybody glad to do. You know, everybody's glad to do that, but that's going to be interesting to see how this one goes. I tell you, I'm sitting here looking at it, and I say, well, Bob Baffert's got Defunded in there. And Defunded was supposed to be the best horse on the grounds. And he didn't end up that way. He took an odd leap of faith with this horse, I believe, is what they did. But, you know, that's a nice race there. And like I said, all these races we're talking about now all start back last October. You start looking at everything and, you know, how do you put it together and, you know, how do you get them there? Oh, geez, it's just a terrible time to, be in a trainer because you've got so many ways to go. Especially this time of year, you know, you're trying to look to see which horses you can get to the breeding shed. You know, if you're going to send them as a broodmare, sell them, you know, send them as a stallion. You know, you got to be wheeling and dealing with the different farms right now to see what they do. And the reason you're doing that now is because when they do retire to stud, you want them to have a nice, you know, resume at the end of his career where, you know, he might have won, a graded stakes race or that type of thing, you know, to do something like that at all. So, you know, again, it's tough on the trainers and the owners. And, you know, we're talking about, the highs of people. They're the ones that came in to take over racing and all the rules and regulations and that type of thing. And I'm glad to see that they did it. It was one of those things that needed to be done, but who was going to do it? And, you know, it's kind of tough to race from track to track and have different medication rulings and, you know, have different, everything's just different. But now with HISA, everything is on an even plane. And they're policing it very well, and they are doing good at it. And I think it's a good thing for, you know, the industry to have that happen to them. And then, you know, like I said, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see. But by this time next Derby, coming up Derby 2024, all these rules and regulations will pretty much be ruled out. And that are standing now, and the new ones will be implemented. So, you know, that's what I'm glad to see. And everybody will have their handbook, and they'll have people answering questions about HISA and rules and regulations. And all it is it's just an extension of the State Racing Commission's program, where they run and how they run and how they're tested and when they're tested. That makes a big, big difference, my friend. So that'll be good. We'll see. That's coming up. We've got all these exciting things that are coming around. Then we're working really strong on our, here at IEN, we're looking at a Triple Crown Tradition is what we're looking at. It's a food story. It's a food competition that we're going to have, the Triple Crown Traditions. It includes the Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont, and the Breeders' Cup will be the four different show dates that we'll have for this barbecue cook-off. And what we'll do is we'll select an owner, a trainer, and a jockey from each track. And they will bring in their recipes, and they will compete against each other at that track, that's their home track, like Churchill, down to Pimlico, and Belmont. And then the final will be at Del Mar in 2024. So that'll be interesting to see. And for example, like the Kentucky Derby, they'll probably feature, and I can't say that it's in writing, but this is what they'll offer, is barbecue, burger goo, and mint julep. You get to the Preakness, and they're going to offer the famous Maryland crab cakes and seafood. Belmont will be a lasagna and an Italian theme, and that ought to be really good. Some good food there, and we'll see what happens. But the Triple Crown Tradition will invite an owner, a trainer, and a jockey from that track, such as Churchill, Pimlico, and Belmont. And the winner of that, each one of those events, will go to the championship that will be at Del Mar Racetrack in 2024. So we'll have, we can have three owners. We can have quite a combination of these different people that are going to be there. And the winner will be announced in a cook-off at the Breeders' Cup Championship at Del Mar. So now, This is the interesting thing that we're looking for. We are looking for somebody to be a judge in each one of our events. So if you know of anybody that wants to be a judge in our cook-off, have them write our email, International Equine Network, at IENTV.org. That's what we'll do. It's IENTV@gmail.com. There we go. So I'm already getting excited about it, hungry, because we're doing some tests this weekend here at the farm to see what happens. We got a guy that went hunting and got a hog, and so we're going to kind of test it out with him and see what's happening there with them. The judges will be a local TV announcer from each one. Like, say, when we're at Churchill and Louisville, it'll be a local TV announcer. And then we'll have a national race announcer that will that calls races during Derby. He will be a judge. And then we will have our celebrity judge. And I'm not saying who it is, but I do understand that Bobby Flay has gotten rid of all of his horses and getting out of the business. So maybe we can convince him to stay on and at least do that, you know, do that type of thing and be a good judge for us. But that's the Triple Crown Traditions show. And it'll be good because everybody loves to cook. Everybody loves to cook. And I mean, we did some cooking here this weekend. It was really good. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Then on our How They Get There, the 2024 Kentucky Derby, we're going to be following two jockeys. We're going to be following Johnny Velasquez. He's been there and done that. And we're going to be following Jose Ortiz, which is trying to be there and done that. So we'll be looking at that, and we'll be chatting with them and seeing what it's like to get on a big Derby horse and what it's like to come out of the gate and, you know, do all the things that you're going to do. Which I'm really excited about that, because, let me tell you, jockeys got really good attitudes. They just want to win. That's all there is to it. They just want to win. So we'll see how that goes. And then the farms that we're going to be following is Windstar Farm in Lexington, Kentucky. They've done just about everything you can do in the business. They won the Derby. They got a Triple Crown Authentic, that's there. And they got all kinds of good stuff. And they did have barn tours. So we're going to be following Windstar Farm and Spendthrift Farm. Spendthrift Farm might be the hottest farm going right now. They got a horse called Into Mischief, and Into Mischief is just throwing runners down right and left. I mean, they're winning right and left. In fact, I was involved with a horse, little part ownership in, and she's named Bellatic, BELLTIC. And I'm telling you, this horse, she was a runner. She's a winner right off the bat, but unfortunately she got hurt and it had to be sent to the farm. And so she's recovering there. And hopefully she'll get back. But we're going to follow her progress and see, you know, just exactly what she does. So the farms we're following is Spendthrift and Windstar. And the trainer that we're following is Todd Pletcher. Todd's one of the best all-around trainers that I've ever seen, and he's a better person, better family man. He's got it all going there with him, so we'll see what happens with him. And it's my understanding that he will be back at Palm Beach Downs this year, Palm Beach Downs got their contract settled with Palm Beach Water Authority, so they're ready to go with that. So that gives us good confidence in Todd's training this winter. He's going to be right where he's supposed to be at, see what happens. Then our Derby prep races, we're going to take a look at all those. There's 27 of them all together this year that we have. We got, you know, any and everything that they can run, it's going to be run. In fact, our next Derby points race will be, we got one at Takura. It's the Alan Smurfliff Memorial in Brentford, Curra, in Ireland, Judamont Royal Large in Newmarket, and the Qatar Grand Prix in Longchamp. And then we got the Champagne coming up on the 7th here at Aqueduct. And then we have the Breeders' Futurity on the 7th also at Keeneland. So the road is going to start getting pretty heavy pretty quick on the road to the Derby, down here, everywhere. The blacksmith we're going to be looking at is Steve Norman. He's shod just about every horse you could think of, every kind of horse, and he's a real good person. He's very professional at his job, and a lot of people from all the big trainers and farms, they consult him, on what to do with their horse's feet. And he's really good. He's really good at it. And then we're going to be talking about feed. We'll get together with the hallway feed people, and they're going to tell us exactly what they do and how they do it and how they get their feed that you're eating at the farm right now. If you're buying from them, they can send it anywhere to Japan, Alaska, you name it, they can send it. That's hallway feed. And then we're going to – the sales are kind of interesting that have been going on. And we're going to talk about that a lot next week, about the sales that are going on. We've got the Mid-Atlantic sales that will be coming up and see what they have. And it's very interesting. If you're planning to run in the Derby, a lot of people go and look at the yearlings that are being sold now. And, I mean, the price is just unbelievable at what they're getting for these horses. So, the next step is, what sale do I go to? One of the best things on the market right now is a company called MyRacehorse.com. And what they do is they buy horses. And I mean, they've bought some really nice horses over the past few years, that they get involved with. They're really nice. In fact, one of them is authentic. And you don't need to say anything more authentic. It is a great horse. But they buy, and then you buy micro shares into it. And you can get it for $30, $40 each. And, or you can spend $200 or $300, of course, the bigger ones go for more money, but you're still an owner. You're still, everything. You're still a part of the process, as it goes. And that's MyRacehorse.com. Then a lot of the old school people, they like to go to the Keeneland sale. And I don't know if it's so much for them to buy a good horse, or just to be there or what have you, but that's a good sale to go to. And you get a lot of horses at the top at $1 million or better. It's just phenomenal what these prices are bringing. And that's at the Keeneland sale. And they sell a lot of goods. Then you have the counterpart, which is the Fassick Tipton sale. And they have sent out some runners out of there. I mean, they do put together a good catalog, and it's hard to go wrong with getting a horse from Fassick Tipton at their sales. So that's one of the things that people trying to figure out, how do I get into the business? Well, you can go to the sales and buy one. There's a lot of agents that are available to talk to. And then there's MyHorseRace.com. That's the one I'd go with. You can have a lot of fun. You can be an owner. You're not shelling out $1 million for a horse that can't run. Like I said, you can go in for less than $100 and get involved with one of these horses. And then, it's history after that. You sit back at home and you watch your horse train and you wait for him to come on to the radio or TV or print and see how they're doing. And that's what I like about it. It's really a good thing to go to and to do, with them. And, it's a gamble. just like everything else, it's a big gamble. You know, when you get in there, I'll give you a good example. I got involved with one of the horses for very little money. And next thing you know, he comes out and he runs and he's made $108,000. And we can't find the right race for him and everything, but he's winning. He's got two wins. Win at Keeneland, win at Gulfstream. You know, and that's good to know. So you look at that from an owner's view. Can I actually get a Derby horse and a horse like MyRaceHorse.com? You sure can, buddy. You sure can. But you know, nothing's guaranteed. So that's what you got to look at. You just go with the flow. You're a horse owner, and it's not costing you anything, hardly at all. So, you know, now we've looked at the sales, the different sales that you have. And some owners that, you know, that are pretty well-to-do, they might have a good runner off the farm, and that would be a homebred. But, you know, you don't see too many of those anymore. Because everybody's playing a sales game out there. Then we're going to take a look at Brookledge Transportation. They transport just about all the big guns. They go from the farm or the track to the airport. They take care of everything that needs to be done. They're good at that. They go from the farm to the tracks, from the tracks to the farms. Then they go all over the country. So we're going to see exactly what that horse looks like riding down the road, you know, how he gets there. That's going to be interesting to see. You know, but, you know, like I was saying earlier about the, about all the Derby prep races that are coming up, we've got them in America, we've got them in, Europe, and we got them in Japan. And this year is really going to be interesting because a lot of people don't understand what it takes to get a horse there. It takes good training, it takes a lot of, it takes a lot of time and effort to be put into them. It takes a lot of planning that you have to do. And so, you know, we're looking basically, you know, we're looking at October, November, and December, and then the 4 months in 2024. So, you know, you're looking at 6 months of hard work, 6 months of planning, 6 months of everything you got to do. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough on these horses. We'll know after the Breeders' Cup. We'll see. We'll see how many, you know, good horses come out of the Breeders' Cup juvenile. Usually, the horses that come out of there, they don't finish up very well. They don't do very good. A lot of those horses go on to be older horses in their three-year-old year, and you see them around the Haskell time and, you know, the Saratoga time and, you know, see what all's going there. So that's going to be interesting to see, start watching, you know, like I said, the, you know, the Derby watch and everything. So now, our next race here in the United States is the Champagne Stakes at Aqueduct, October 7th. It's a points getter. It starts you off on the right foot. It's the Champagne Stakes there at Aqueduct, and maybe it'll be good. We'll see. But so that starts the Derby, how they get there to the Derby. And nowadays, it seems like weather's becoming more important than anything we do in the horse business. They're trying to figure out what kind of surface the horses should be running on, if they should be running on the grass, if they should run on the tapeta. There's just a lot of questions to be answered. And unfortunately, for the trainers and the owners, we're getting the big fields now back into the racing. And let me tell you, it's good and it's bad. If you get a two-year-old in a nice stakes race and, you know, maybe even one of the Derby prep races that you could get, you got to think, should I enter the horse? Should I beat him up? Should I give him a bad taste in his mouth? You always like to find that race that he can win. And so we're going to be seeing coming up here after the Breeders' Cup. The Breeders' Cup kind of heads it all up, the distance, the route of ground horses. We're talking about horses on the grass, you know, on the dirt. There's a lot that we're talking about, you know, with these horses. And, you know, I can never emphasize, it's all about organization of your horses when you get out and you start going with them and pre-planning and everything. And you got to remember, it's hard for a trainer to plan his schedule, because he usually has to be in multiple places. You know, he's got to be in, you know, Kentucky, California, New York, staying with the big horses, as they say. And that can be done. But it's hard to do when you're trying to get to all these places, and all these places that you're trying to get to are in different places. You know, that sounds like a VP Harris statement, but it's true. You can't be in every place at one time. So then you got to pick out your home base. And I'll give you a good example. Todd Pletcher has been very successful basing out of Palm Beach Downs from September to April. He does have horses at Aqueduct and Gulfstream, and he'll send other horses to like Hot Springs and, you know, places like that that he'll go. But it's hard to do. You know, you got so many horses and you got to be with them all. But he has found success in it. He knows how to get them ready at Palm Beach Downs. He knows when to send them to the tracks, to New Orleans or to Gulfstream or, you know, to California or what have you. You know, so that's a thing that he's done. And Steve Asmussen, he is changing his situation around a little bit and trying to find that home track to base out of. And I think we'll find out here what he does at Santa Anita. I think he might like that Santa Anita, you know, or the Del Mar connection out there. That might be Steve's forte. He's a Texas guy, and that's not that far out of Texas, you know, and he would be, you know, close to home and everything. So we'll see what happens with that. And, you know, Billy Mott, he's a Florida guy. He loves Florida in the wintertime. Dwayne Lucas is a Hot Springs, Arkansas man. He loves Hot Springs in the, you know, in the wintertime. Brad Cox is usually in New Orleans or Hot Springs with what he does. You know, so it's always trying to figure that spot out. Where do you go? What do you do? How do you do it? And also, there's so many things in the horse business, and, you know, it basically, you know, transcends to everything in the horse business, whether you're show horse, whether you're standard bred. There's just a lot of things that, you know, you can do, you know, there. That's like me, you know, here in Florida. I got a headset on, and I'm walking around here in the barn trying to get things done and looking at horses and things that you try to, you know, condense all your time in. And it's tough. You know, there's just not enough hours in the day, especially with the weather, you know, the way it is. But you find a way to make it work. You know, you do that. And I admire all these trainers, from the small guy all the way up to the big guys. They've got tons of money. They all have the same problems. They all have the same goal. They all have, everything's the same for them, no matter what they do. Whether you're running a cheap horse or a $1 million horse, it's all the same thing. You got to load in that gate, and you got to get to the finish line first. And it's tough, you know, and here on IEN, like today, for example, we're watching from the Hippodrome in Argentina. We're watching live racing from there, which is really good. A beautiful track. Beautiful track. If you go to IENTV.org and you click on, you'll see it's called At the Wire. It's running live races from Argentina right now in a beautiful facility. Beautiful facility. And it's kind of interesting is you don't see many horses coming out of the different countries here to race in the U.S. You see them, you know, staying pretty much in their home country and trying to dominate everything. And that's what makes the Breeders' Cup so interesting, is we have a handful of horses that come over from foreign countries here to race. And it's really just it's something else, you know, to see. But that's from Argentina. And like I said, it's a beautiful track, you know, to see, and the people that are there. And then we also have a FEI thing. It's from coming out of France today. It's a driving event for the Olympics, and it's coming out. It's a beautiful track right there and all. But, you know, like I said before, it's kind of interesting to see how all the people from all around the world do what they do. And I was excited to start IEN. Of course, like I said, I'm not a real professional at it, and it's going, but the format's there. It's been a 2-year process of getting the format, you know, the way I wanted it and the way it's going to be. And so, like, for example, now, IENTV.org, our website, is pretty much all thoroughbreds. Pretty much all thoroughbreds. And so I got it the way I want it and everything, and then we'll be expanding. And the next thing that we'll be expanding out into is called the Quest for Equine Gold. It's about the 2024 Olympics and where the horses go to show, how they get there to the 2024 Olympics, whether they're showing in Wellington or Paris or Germany, Australia. You know, it's truly an international thing that we're doing there with the Quest for Equine Gold. It's just amazing. And there's so many divisions there. There's dressage, there's Grand Prix jumping, there's 3-day eventing. There's the driving that's on now that we have. It's coming to you from France. And, you know, that makes a big difference. So that's what we're trying to do here, slow but surely. And now that I've got it down and I can start, you know, getting advertising money and sponsors and things of that nature, we can really go to it. And I love it because it's a lot of live events that you'll be going to, and especially here in Wellington this winter. We'll have a lot of live events from Wellington. And I'm telling you, we got some big-time people showing here in Florida. And now with the World Equestrian Center in Ocala, it's like having two Ocalas, you know, in the state. You know, one in the north or the central part of the state, and one in the south end of the state, you know. And then we have Thermo, California. We have all kinds of Parker, Colorado. We have Michigan having the horse park in Kentucky. And that's what it's all about. It's about organization and you know, getting everything done and you know, getting to the right races. And you know, here just real quick, you know, you got to be able to see the future with what you're doing. You got to be able to look 6 months to a year down the road, you know, to get where you need to go. You think it's tough to get a horse to the Kentucky Derby? Try getting one to the Olympics. You have to have a seasoned horse that's been showing for 4 or 5 years, that's really seasoned, well put together. Your rider's good. They get a perfect match. And that means traveling all over the world just to get ready. Hey, you think that the Kentucky Derby prep race schedule is something that starts in September and ends at the Derby, you know, that you're looking 5, 6, 7 months down the road? Try getting an Olympic horse. On those Olympic horses that you got out there, you're talking about 2 or 3 years of qualifying and trying to get your horse ready for the Olympics. You know, that's the tough one. We'll go into that more at a later time. But it's time to end the show today, and I'm glad everybody, I said, oh, thank God, get something else on there. And like I said, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, and weather plays a lot in what we do. So we'll see. Everybody have a safe weekend, and come back next Friday to hear about the winner of the Vosburgh.